I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you sometimes hate the mirror? Which is a really funny question, because there are times we hate the mirror, but we're really just hating our reflection. But yeah, you like you ever just avoid the mirror? I just want to look at it. Like when you have a cold sore, you know, and it's like, oh, I didn't want to look at myself. Or you put on a few extra pounds and, I don't want to look in the mirror. Right? And how about those magnifying mirrors? You ladies know about those. I've looked in them a couple times and yikes. My goodness, you ladies are mirror masochists. It's like, they exaggerate, you know, just every wrinkle and pimple and pore and blackhead and blemish. It's like, ugh, I don't look that close. I would be like, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the not you? That's for sure. 2 months ago, we gave ourselves a spiritual physical. Well, time for a checkup. And so I ask, have you, because I've given you 2 months. So have you become a sharper image of the mind and heart and courage of Christ? If not, why not? You've had a couple months. Are you using His word the way you use a mirror? Because we study the mirror. I mean, it's just so fascinating. Have you ever seen the picture that's in a mirror? It's you. And we love ourselves. We study the mirror so we can adjust accordingly. Stray hair, eye booger, booger booger, you know? Same goes for God's word. Do not merely, and it's got to be a coincidence, but I just love they say merely. Do not merely listen to the word. And so deceive yourselves. You got to do what it says. Immediately adjust accordingly, according to what you see reflected. Otherwise, you're like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. That's what we kind of do on Sunday morning. And after looking at himself and seeing what's needing immediate attending, instead just goes away. And immediately forgets, gets distracted, and forgets what he looks like, and what's hanging from where, and what needs to be taken care of. But whoever looks intently, like you do with a mirror, looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and continues in it daily, like we do with our mirrors, not forgetting what they have heard in God's word, but doing something about it. They, only they, will be blessed in what they do. Because love it or hate it, the mirror just says it like it is. And we usually hate it. But unlike the wicked queen in Snow White, we must honor the mirror's honesty. Otherwise, when we look into God's word and we see our faults and flaws reflected in the mirror mortals that populate the pages in God's word, we'll just go our way, get distracted, and forget what we saw. Just leave things hanging that shouldn't be. But scripture likens itself to a mirror because the Spirit of God, in fact, say this with me, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God, but not when we read it like a rule book. You can't read it like a rule book. That attempt profoundly and famously failed with the Pharisees. Mm-mm. It's got to be read like a relationship book, because the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God through the people of God who populate its pages, who are mere mortals with messy lives just like us. Only they're mostly the worst of the worst. That's why their stories are in the Bible. We get this idea that the Bible's full of heroes. You can find them. You can find it, but no, that's not what it is. Do not be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors all ate the same spiritual food, right? And drank the same spiritual drink. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, the ones that are written about. He's not pleased with most of them. And these things occurred and were recorded in His Word as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. And they were written down as warnings for us. You see, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to, you know, all mankind, right? But try to remember, when you are tempted, that He will also provide a way out so that you, unlike them, can endure it. For everything in the Bible that was written about the people in the past, it wasn't written for them. It was written about them. But who was it written for? It was written to teach us, future people, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the stories of the glories in the scriptures, we might have hope. As opposed to giving up and say, you know, giving up on God and just murdering an innocent man to cover up an adulterous affair. You know, like Grandpa David did. Right? And we're talking about the Bible, so here's the common, you know, arguments. It's hard. It's just hard to relate to those olden days people. Really? Come on. People are people. Sin is sin. And time is relative when it comes to our relatives, especially in the Bible. But do you relate to John Tyler, our 10th president, who was born in 1790? You relate to him? Probably not, right? No more than you relate to the folks in the Bible. 10th president, 1790. He was born during George Washington's first year in office. You relate to him? No. Well, you know who does relate to him? This is just my favorite example. You know who does relate to him? His grandson, who is still alive. Harrison Tyler. You go, wait, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. Grandpa was born in 1790. So Harrison Tyler is 96 years old. His father was 75 when Harrison was born in 1928. And his father's father was born, when John Tyler was 63, in 1853. How weird would it be to be able to say, as that man can, my grandpa was born during George Washington's first year in office. That just doesn't, right? But see, there's a connection now. How many of you have heard the saying, Tippy Canoe and Tyler too? That's Tyler. You have a connection. And Jesus calls us His children. He's called the Son of David. So if we're His kid and He's David's kid, how weird is it that your grandpa David was born 3,000 years ago? It's all relative. And also, David is a child of God, but then God is Jesus and Jesus is a child of David. So that makes Jesus His own grandpa. But I digress. Just stop singing it in your head. It's all my own grandpa. The problem isn't the past. It's your personal connection to it. That's it. For instance, the sinking of the Titanic. Now, the movie came out, so that made it seem more fresh. But that seemed like the dark ages to me. Till a pharmacist at Hagen just happened to mention that his mom's brother was among those who drowned when it went down. And how devastating it was for his mom and the family. I thought, oh, all of a sudden it means something because there's a connection. Time is relative, as are our relatives in the scriptures. It's written for you. You see, Jesus did many other miraculous signs which are not recorded in the book. But these that are written, they're written that you may believe for yourself that Jesus is the Christ. It was written for you. He's the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have this life in his name, in your heart, that you may know it, understand it, grasp it. Because beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Because concerning this salvation, you know that Old Testament? The Old Testament prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you. Well, they searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he, Old Testament, predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Because all scripture is God-breathed and is very useful for those for whom it was written, for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training. I like that one. The training in righteousness, so that the true servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You go, is that because we respond so well to rules? You know, no, you can't read it like a rule book. It'll do all that stuff. It's good for all that. But it's not because you're reading it like rules. We hate rules. Once in Waikiki, just to prove the point, we saw these huge wild turtles. I had no desire to touch them or even get close to them until I was told it was illegal. And then it was like, touchy, touchy. And then I was told it's illegal to feed them. So I was like, have some more Doritos, dude. Not really, I'm lying. I just found that picture and almost wet my pants laughing. Picturing myself shoving Doritos in its face. Okay, I didn't do either of those things. But Char did. One of them. And I'm not telling you which one. But I will say that we went down to that shark tank, and I touched one of the sharks. We weren't supposed to do that, so I did touch a shark. The point is, bad rules, right? It's not about rules. Thank you, Lord. It's about relations, and not just ours and God's. Because the book's about people. It's not about commands as much as connections. Because every God-breathed story was recorded back then to enlighten and inspire and embolden us here and now. You know, many of the most vivid stories recorded deliberately focused on exposing the debauchery and disobedience of mere mortals like us, just so you and I would see ourselves reflected in those stories and be warned, hopefully, because we get to see what people like us would do. You know, what if God showed up and just said to do this? What would happen? Well, here's an example. You see, the message they heard was of no value to them, because this is about most of the people that are written about in the Bible, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. They were like the guy that looks in a mirror and then leaves the thing hanging from his nose. Let us, you and I, let us therefore make every effort to just do what's appropriate when you see your reflection, right? Just take care of yourself. Let us therefore make every effort so that no one among us will fall by ignorantly following their example. It's like, if you don't read their example and know their example, you'll follow their example. That's how you combine it with faith. You know, you read the example. So that no one among us will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and filled with wild stories of sexual immorality and murder and greed and betrayal and hatred. and its consequences, which makes it sharper than any double-edged sword, because that stuff, it penetrates if you let it. And then, once it penetrates, well, then it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the reflective heart. So come on, accept instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. And I will give you a new heart, he says. I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. This is how it happens. It's how it works. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power. It's just got to be turned on. So stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Because you see, the wicked may flee, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And it can't be a cowardly lion. And you say, but I just don't understand. I don't understand it. I don't understand so much of it. It's confusing. I just don't get it. That's the problem? Really? Is that really the problem? You're lying to yourself? You're just trying to avoid the mirror? Because Mark Twain said it best when he said, it ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do. Yeah. Either way, it's vital to your spiritual health that you hurry up and let God transform you into a new person. I mean, we're all praying for it. Let God transform you into a new person, please. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, which happens through his word. Hand him your heart. He'll train your brain. Then you will know what God wants you to do. And you will then know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. But beware, when anyone hears the word and does not understand it, and then, you know, goes away and forgets it, the wicked one, he's right there, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. How many of you have heard of wicked? You know, that's the new thing that's out now. Raise your hand. How many of you have heard of wicked? Okay, quite a few. It's the story of the Witch of Oz, right? Okay, how many of you know the story of wicked King Saul and the Witch of Endor? Raise your hands. Okay, I'm proud of you. Some of you are going, wait, that's in the Bible? Yes, that's in the Bible. Wicked King Saul and the Witch of Endor. Endor. How many of you remember Endora from Bewitched? Raise your hands, let's see. Well, that's something at least. How sad. Where do you think she got her name? Endora. It's from the Bible. Endor, the Witch of Endor. You go, oh, there's a connection. Okay, now, which do you connect with more and relate to the most? Between the scarecrow who needed a transformed mind, the tin man who needed a beating heart, and the cowardly lion who wanted to be as bold as, well, a lion. Which one of those, when you watch that, which one do you like the best? I want you to think about that. Which one of those do you relate to? And which would you ask of God if God was willing, he shows up, he says, I'm willing to fill your brain with truth, or fill your heart with love, or fill your nerve with courage. Which would you choose? Well, congratulations. He's more than willing to grant you all three. If you're willing, he'll be feeling. But be honest, especially with yourself, do you relate to the scarecrow and the tin man and the cowardly lion more than to, say, Abraham and Isaac and cowardly Jacob? Probably. Why is that? Why would you have a stronger connection to made-up creatures in a fantasy world? And it ain't because it's in Technicolor. Well, maybe a bit. But mostly, it's because See, and you get that. You know, I could quote Zechariah right now. You'd all go, "What's that?" But man, you know, because you see yourself in them. This is this will sneak up on you here because we're having fun, but this is profound. You see yourself in their faults and flaws and sorrows and pain and desires and struggles and setbacks and victories. You see, and now listen close. Let this sink in. You are not really relating to a brainless scarecrow or a heartless robot or a spineless lion. You are relating profoundly with a reflection of your own mind and soul and spirit. That's what's happening. And rightly so. We were created to do so. But I'm telling you, if and when you allow the Spirit of God that kind of access through all the stories that He's coordinated and collected and curated just for you, they will penetrate your mind and heart and spine, even to dividing soul and spirit. That's how it works. Because God's narratives aren't mirror stories. They are mirror stories. And they are painfully honest mirrors. You go, so much of it is dry and boring. Don't read that part. Our excuses are so lame. For man is made in God's image and reflects God's glory. And therefore, the more openly we reflect on it, the more clearly we reflect of it. And therefore, we all with unveiled face, this was written when people wore veils, with unveiled face, not hiding or covering up anything, beholding in His word, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord in each story of the Lord. We're the ones being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, from story to story. You go, okay, but how do you relate to cultures that are so unlike our own? I don't know. How do you relate so effortlessly to a dancing scarecrow and a resting robot and a tree that throws apples and a cowering and a melting witch? How do you do that? You tell me. And it's because it's not about the culture. It's all about your connection. If I asked you to recount the plot line of The Wizard of Oz, how would you do? I'll answer for you. Pretty good. But if I asked you to recount the storyline of God's word from Adam to Malachi, how would you do? Who's Malachi? He's tricking. He's one of the munchkins, I think. Why is that? Why is that? It's because. With the Wizard of Oz, now listen close. With the Wizard of Oz, your brain is simply arranging the pieces that are living in your heart. Don't you want that with God's word? So don't let the wicked one come and snatch away what's been sown in your heart. Instead, let the word of Christ, you know, that's New Testament stuff. Give the gospel. Those are the easy stories. Make it fun. Start there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Oh man, like when Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" That should hit you the same way as you can't handle the truth. You should know that story. It's incredible. Or when Jesus said to the woman, "Has no one condemned you?" Oh, what a moment, right? There's an Oscar winner right there. Or when He said, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Or when the rooster crowed and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Oh, makes me shivers. So receive into your heart all my words, the Lord says, that I speak to you and hear. Welcome the word that has been planted in you. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. People haven't changed. God hasn't changed, and He's waiting in His Word as He did in His garden. So make the connection, check your reflection, and make every effort this week to allow His Spirit to use His Word to make you a clearly brighter and bolder reflection of His Son by reflecting on the enduring and astonishing love of His Son. And then, simple, just immediately adjust accordingly. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love You and look to You and immediately adjust accordingly. Holy Spirit, inspire us to become a brighter, bolder reflection of Your mind and heart. And Lord Jesus, we praise You and thank You and desire to reflect Your grace in our face. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.